Recording in progress.
Right. Good morning. We're learning the Sefer Zerah Kodesh for Parshas Shemos, which begins with the words Ve'ela Shemos B'nei Yisrael. These are the names of the Yidden, the children of Yisrael. Havayim Mitzrayim, who came to Mitzrayim. Es Yaakov with Yaakov. Ish u'beisoy va'u. Each one came with his family. So the Rav Shitzer wants to touch on the idea that when Parshas Shemos begins, according to all the holy Svarim, these weeks of the Parshas Shemos Ve'era Bo Bashalach Yisrael and Mishpatim are these Parshas are Parshas that specifically people are supposed to work on themselves to elevate themselves in certain areas, which he discusses more earlier in the Parsha. But these are times of Shovavim, is how it's referred to, these weeks when people could do Teshuvah. Now, why are these the special weeks for doing Teshuvah? Now, the word Shovavim, which stands for Shmos Va'era Bo Bashalach Yisrael Mishpatim, is based on the pasuk that says, Shuvu Banim Shovavim, that Hashem says to us, when you wayward children return to me, so this is the time that we should return. Now, why is it this time? It's because this is the Parashios when we're reading about Yetzias Mitzrayim. And while Pesach, we learned about Yetzias Mitzrayim, we were more focused on the Pesach story and all that's associated with it. But the personal element of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is me descending down into my own Mitzrayim and struggling with my own enslavement and coming out, I don't really get to focus on that over Pesach, and so they focus on that during these weeks. And so the Rav Shitzer has a number of things to say about Shovavim. We're not going to read the long version of what he says because that's more elaborate and we want to get to other things, but this shtickel, which is not the first shtickel in the Parsha, but rather the third, Ve'ele Shemos B'nei Yisrael Abayim Mitzrayim. Ki Ksiv, because yes.
Could you distinguish between the kind of tshuva that we ought to be thinking about during this period and the kind of improvement that we're supposed to be doing during the Sefira?
Yeah, that's a great question. What's the difference between this avoda and the avoda of Sefira? So Sefira's Omer is to work on your midos. Specifically, your chesed, your gevura, your teferes, your netzach, your hod, your yisod, and your malchus, which includes all the midos, if we would know how to break them down properly. This is specifically in one of those areas, the area of yisod, the area of kedusha, of the bris. This is why amongst the chassidim and many other communities, these are the weeks when they have hilchos nida classes for both the men and the women. Right, so this is like when this area is worked on specifically, I would say like this. It's really the mitzvahs that are most associated with the gathering of the dispersed sparks, which is what Egypt was about. So the focus on that, those mitzvahs which are associated with that, specifically, typically, Kedushas HaBris and Taras HaMishpacha and Mikvah and these areas, and person's thoughts and things like that, that arena. Yeah, it's an issue beta, yeah. Yeah, that's a nice way to put it. Okay. So he says, Kiksev, we're told in Parshas Bereishis, Nefesh Chaya Hu Shemo, that the soul of life, that's associated with the name, Ki Hashem Shal Adam, your name, Romez Al Bechinas Chiyuso, is an allusion to the aspect of your vitality. Those are a lot of words, but what that means is that your name is intertwined with your life and your being and your essence and your personality and who you are in both ways, where if you understood someone's name properly, you could understand more about them. But the other way, if you really knew someone well, you'd know their name, right? So sheyesh lekal echad mi Yisrael chelek eloka, chelek kadosh, because every member of Klal Yisrael has a portion of Hashem, a neshama, that's a holy portion. And that's holiness. But, v'zeh l'uma zeh asa elukim. Hashem made this world with a counterbalance. If Hashem would have made this world that there should only be righteous, then there would have been no challenges in this world. V'chas v'shalom, k'sha sitra achram is gaberes, so when the other side, when the side of evil has power, noflim shemos b'nei Yisrael, begalos, our names fall into exile, b'na sitra achra, amongst the forces of evil, v'umas ha'olam, and the nations of the world. And what exactly does he mean here? It's not exactly clear. You can read the words to try to understand yourself, but there's something about the Jewish people losing the holiness of our names because we're living in a society where our names have lost that. Now, what exactly is it about it? Is it the use of the secular names, which is more common in the current exile than it was in Egypt, where they insisted on keeping Jewish names? You know, these kinds of issues come up. L'chein, and because of this, because this is such a danger that you could lose your name to the evil forces, tiknu lanu kadmoneinu, so our ancient ones have established for us, lomer, that we say, besof tefilas yudches, at the end of the davening of Shmona Esrei, pasuk, everyone has to recite a verse, sheromeis bo shmo shel adam, a name that alludes to the name of a person. As we're told, this is brought down by the Sfarim. Usually the reason is given, and you'll see this in your Siddur, in the last paragraph of Davening. It says, it leaves a space for you to insert the verse that's associated with your name, and every Siddur will have a list of either names or Aleph-based combinations. Basically, what you're looking for is, if you, let's say your name is Avraham, you want a verse that starts with an Aleph and ends with a Mem. If your name is Yitzchak, you want a name that pasuk that starts with a yud and ends with a kuf. If your name is Avraham Yitzchak, then you need two verses: one that starts with an aleph and ends with a mem, and one that starts with a yud and ends with a kuf. And the explanation that's usually given is because when you come up to Shemayim, the day of judgment, you're going to be so frightened that you're going to forget your name. Now, it's not simple that you'll, like the way we think of it, because forgetfulness doesn't work this way in the world to come. And you're not going to forget your address. You're going to forget your name specifically, because of where you are and who you are. And the way to do that, the way to stop that from getting lost from you, is if you say it every day at the end of Shmona Esrei, you say the verse that's associated with your name, or the verses associated with your name. And it has nothing to do with the name that you're called by. As a, you know, if someone's called Yankol, right, they're not going to do Yud Lamed. Or even if the person is named Dov and they call him Bear, but if it's the Hebrew name, the way that you're called up to the Sefer Torah, because that's the name of your neshama. And if you do that throughout your life, and you do it at the back of Shmona Esrei, you say that, then that'll keep you connected to your name, and then when it comes to the Day of Judgment, you will be able to hold on to your name, which seemingly has some major advantage in judgment. And we find cases of people who have gone up to Shemayim and you know, they were asked their names and they can't remember it and things like that. These are things which we don't necessarily understand, but we're told about it and we're given the solution, which is to add this verse at the end of Shmona Esrei. There's halachic discussion on those verses. There's a lot of different opinions about it. For example, there are some who say that if you have a pasuk that contains your name, that that's better than verses that sort of hint to your name. But we don't have we're not going to go into all the halachic elements of that. Okay. So he says that there's another reason here for why you have to recite your name. Reciting your name at the end of Shmona Esrei protects your name. It keeps your name in holiness, which is probably why it stays with you, but it protects your name so that the external forces, the evil forces in the world, can't contaminate your name. So he says, Shebezeh HaKoach, when a person recites the verse with their name in it, that calls back your name. You're recalling it. In other words, your name, just like you, has fallen into some kind of darkness and some kind of place. And when you recite this verse, you lift up your name and yourself with it, but specifically through your name to elevate it. Shlo yeh begalus by name. If you add your name at the end of your davening, your name will no longer be in exile. Rakia shemo rak bekedusha. Your name will remain in holiness. So he's saying this is why this danger, which is us being in exile, is only half a danger. But our souls being in exile, which is what happened in Mitzrayim, that's really the biggest danger. And the way to say that is that our names have gone into exile. So that's what this pasuk means here. L'chein amar kan, Eile shemos b'nei Yisrael abayim Mitzrayim. These are the names of the Jewish people who came to Egypt, not the names of the people who came down to Egypt. These are the names of the people that came down to Egypt. The names themselves descended to Mitzrayim. Ze haya ikar kovod agalus. That's really the main heaviness of the exile. Sheshmos b'nei Yisrael. Sheshmos shel b'nei Yisrael. They're the names of the Jewish people. What's connected to their souls. Naflu sham, fell into the exile in Egypt. And so this gave the husks, the forces of evil, power over the Jewish people because we allowed our names to descend into the Egyptian exile.
Doesn't it say they didn't change their name? It was one of the few things they did.
Right. Yeah, so the question is, how does this fit into this Torah with they didn't change their names? They didn't change their names, just like we didn't change our names. But that's only step one. Right. Not changing your names means you're not lost completely. But even if you're holding on to your names, those names can still be embedded in exile. So the names went down and the names came out. Yes?
Is what you just said about the klipa being, I forgot, teachazu or teachazu, whatever word you use.
Achiza, yeah.
Yeah, is that from
Yehazim? Yeah, you know, I would agree with you. Let me just repeat this, that the pasuk at the end of Parshas Vayigash says that the Jewish people, Vayachzuba, that they really grasped hold of Egypt. And so it would make sense to say that that Egypt therefore grasped them as well. So the word Achiza, he's not hinting to that, and not if we can focus so specifically that much on his choice of words, but certainly that would be the place where the Jewish people would have been captured. Okay, now we know that the names of the Jewish people are holy, but specifically the names of the 12 sons of Yaakov, which he darshins throughout this parsha, the names of the sons of Yaakov, those are the roots of each of the Shvatim and the sources and their holiness. And we know this, why are there 12 Shvatim? Why are there 12 Shvatim? Well, you could ask me, why are there 12 Shvatim? Why are there 12 months? So, why are there 12 permutations of the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei? There's 12 ways to spell it. They're all the same. They're all the same, these permutations, because the names of the 12 Shvatim correspond with the 12 different ways of spelling Hashem's name, which correspond with the 12 tribes, of course. Now, if you have 12 ways of spelling Hashem's name is Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei is 26. What's 12 times 26? I'll save you the math, but it's 312. Right? 10 times 26 is 260, and add 52 for 2 times 26, and you get 312. So he says, V'rashatevis, that's why it says, Shmos b'nei Yisrael. Shmos b'nei Yisrael starts with a shin, a base, and a yud. Hushin yud base is 312. Gematria yud base tzirufi avai, which is 12 times 26. So Eile Shmos b'nei Yisrael. You should know these are the names of the Jewish people. They're not just names. They are shin yud base. They are 312. They are 12 times 26. These 12 Shvatim, each one of the tribes represents one permutation of Hashem's name. And if one of the tribes were missing, we would be as if a representation of Hashem's name would be missing. That's why we have a promise, as the Gemara tells us in Horius, that no tribe will ever disappear. None of the Shvatim will go away, because that's in Hashem's name. Shekol Shevet Him Shechashpa, so each Shevet brought down an influence, mitziruf echad shel avaya, of one permutation of the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. We know the Divrei Chaim of Tzanz and Talmud of the Zera Kodesh. He was his, one of his greatest students of the Rav Shitzer. So he famously has a tshuva about the Nusach Sfard versus Nusach Ashkenaz. And therein he writes that there were actually 12 different Nuschais of the Shvatim that he says led into what we have today as all these different Nuschais of Tefillah. And so, because we don't know which Shevet we're from, he supports the Arizal's approach that we should take the 13th pathway, which is Nusach Sfar. Yeah, it's a separate discussion. But the point is that he also seems to understand that the 12 different permutations of Hashem's name means that the Shvatim are all a little different, and they have to maybe daven a little different, because each one is bringing down a different influence into the world. So it says, these are the names of the Jewish people who came down to Mitzrayim over Rosh Tevis, and Torah specifically says, Shmos B'nei Yisrael, which spells out Shin Yud Beis, Romeis L'Yud Beis Tzurufi Avaya, which are the 12 permutations of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Shehiz Gaber, because what happened when we went down to Egypt is it gave power, Bechinas Mitzrayim. Egypt now had power, Al Yisrael over the Jewish people, Yud Beis Shvatim over the 12 tribes, Shem Neged, Yud Beis Tzirufi Avaya, and so Egypt had power over the 12 permutations of Hashem's name, which gave Egypt power to introduce evil into the world, to turn the Jewish people to slaves, to practice all the dark arts, and all the immorality, as the Torah later tells us, Kamaasei Eretz Mitzrayim, don't do these things that the Egyptians did with every kind of prohibited immorality. So we know that in order for a nation to truly become evil, they have to steal from the holiness. So the Jewish people descending down into Mitzrayim, the names of Hashem and the names of the Shvatim falling into an exile. And so he's going to learn that this happens again every year. This is why there are people who fast and they do teshuvah. But the Parshias shall rush at Tevos Shovavim, Shmos Va'era Bo Bashalach Yisro Mishpatim, which spells out the word Shovavim. Ki Shovavim, the word Shovavim itself, Gematria Shin Samach, is exactly 360. Shiyotziu Ayidei Teshuvah, because when we do teshuvah, these weeks of Shovavim, we pull out through our teshuva as Bechinas HaKadosh Shel Shemos B'nei Yisrael, specifically the names of the Jewish people, Shiftei Ka, the tribes of Hashem, Shem Neged Yud Beis Tzirufei Avaya, Shigematria Shin Yud Beis. Now we know the 12 Shvatim represent 12 times 26, which is, as we said, 312. But in 12 spellings of Hashem's name, 4 letters each, that's another 48 letters. If you add 312 and 48, you get 360, which is the word Shovavim. So Vememchas Osius should be Yud Beis Tzirufi Avaya Gematria Shin Samach Gematria Shovavim Keniska Le'el. Again, let me repeat all this before we go to another Torah. He has a longer version of this earlier in the parasha. We're not going to do that, but a person can look that up himself. But what he's saying is, in what happens here in Mitzrayim is the Torah doesn't start. The Jewish people went down to Egypt. He's learning the names of the Jewish people went down to Mitzrayim. The Kedusha of the Jewish people went down to Mitzrayim. The connection that the Jewish people have to Hashem went down to Mitzrayim. And so when we're in Golus today, it's not just that we're physically in Golus. The name of Hashem is in Golus. The Shvatim are in Golus. Everything that's holy is in Golus. And we can escape from that through bettering ourselves. When we better ourselves, we lift up the Shemos B'nei Yisrael, the letters of Hashem's name. And so one of the ways of doing this every day is at the end of our davening, when we, in some ways, when you say these psukim, you're also like signing your name at the end of a letter. Right? That's the Yer Shmon Esrei, is a letter to Hashem, and you're sort of putting your signature at the bottom. But on a deeper level, what he's describing here is that you are claiming your name in holiness. You are putting it into your Shmon Esrei, where you stand before Hashem, and you use that name, the name that you get called up for an aliyah to, that holy name. When you elevate that, that saves it and pulls it back. And that's what the Torah is trying to tell you, is that you have to protect your name, the names of the Jewish people, which are connected to the names of Hashem. And that's what we're trying to work on over these days. Again, the gematrias being there as they are. Okay, but I want to go to a longer piece. That's why we did the shorter version of that. Later in the parsha, where the Rav Shitzer is discussing Moshe Rabbeinu at the snare. And the reason why this is important to learn is because very often, and this is the way it should be, we get to certain portions of the Torah. I don't know what that means. So that's how I learn it. I learn it. Okay, that's what it says. I don't know what it means. So there are some things, like, for example, what did Klal Yisrael see at Har Sinai? They saw this. At the sea, they saw that. I don't know what any of that means. I don't know, not a Navi. Right? We're B'nai Nevi'im, but sometimes we can't even ask the question because where am I going to get an answer? So when someone asks one of these questions, it's always interesting to see. So the pasuk says, "Vayera Malach Hashem Elav Belabas Eish Mitoch Hasna." An angel of Hashem appeared to him in the flame of the fire, mitoch hasna. Vayar and he saw, v'hine hasna boer ba'esh, the bush is burning in fire, v'hasna inanu ukal, but this bush was not being consumed. So, yeah, he asked the question. Yesh l'daktik, v'ez inyin ha'yitzarech lios malach Hashem b'labas esh. Why is there an angel of Hashem in the flame of the fire? So, like I said, I wouldn't ask that question. I don't even know what that means, that there was a flame, that there was an angel of Hashem. What's an angel of Hashem? It's not like the Goyim draw it. So we don't have a concept of what that looks like. So I wouldn't even ask the question. But he wants to know, what is Malach Hashem, Balav HaSesh? Lo yitzarech lak laharis lo achidish. Hashem is trying to show him, shasna boer be'ish, that the bush is burning in fire, ve'sna enanuchal, and it's not being consumed. So where is the relevance of this angel that the Torah has to tell us that he saw a malach of Hashem in the fire, and that fire was not consuming the bush? Where?
It could have been just the fire.
Right, right. What? How does the presence of the angel manifest as part of the vision that Moshe? I wouldn't ask the question. What do I know about these things? I'm saying this again, but he asked the question and he has an answer. So that's a very special thing, right? Okay. But furthermore, how do you tell while it's burning that the bush is not being consumed? Maybe if it keeps burning, maybe when the fire goes out, the bush will have been consumed. When wood burns on fire, you can't always see it being consumed until after a while. So he's going to have a whole different perspective on the vision that Moshe Rabbeinu is seeing. V'nirapi mashi perashti b'parshas Lech Lecha. I explained the parshas Lech Lecha, I'll pass it on the verse, v'heyei bracha, Hashem promises Avraham, v'heyei bracha, you will be a blessing. Sheftiach HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Avraham Avinu v'amar lo b'chach Osman. Hashem told Avraham, don't worry, even though we're going to say, Elukei Avraham, Elukei Yitzchak, Elukei Yaakov, don't worry. When we finish, it's just going to be Baruch Ato Hashem, Magen Avraham. That's Vayei Bracha. You will be the blessing. Which, if you read it on a very elementary level, sounds like Hashem told Avraham, you know, I'm going to include other people in your bracha, your son and your grandson. Avraham goes, with me, I don't get my own bracha. And Hashem says, no, don't worry. The end will be yours. That's obviously not the pshat, right? So what's the pshat? What's this promise that we will end with you? Says the Holy Zerah Kaidish in the amazing Pshat, Ratzon Lomar. It means like this. There will be times when Hashem will treat the Jewish people with chesed, and that's when we say, thank you, Hashem, Elokei Avraham. There will be times when it's going to be gevura and judgment. That's when we say, Elokei Yitzchak. And there's times that there's a mixture. Says Avraham, you better not leave it that way. B'chal eitshe yu esral b'tzara u'b'shibud. When the Jewish people will be troubled and subjugated, Hashem Elokim and Hashem Aleihem Yeraeh b'gvuras v'dinim b'kashim is appearing upon us with judgment and harsh things. That's only at the beginning. Aval Hasof, but in the end, Yeberachemim u'b'chasadim gedolim, Hashem will send His mercy and His great kindness. Shakadish Baruch Hu Yigales Midas Chazdo Lavram. In the end of our story is Baruch Ata Hashem Magen Avraham. It's all going to be Chesed and mercy and good. That's why Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov says Hashem, but it's not going to end that way. It's going to end with Magen Avraham. Shakadish Baruch Hu Yigales Midas Chazdo Lavram. Hashem will reveal His kindness. His attribute of kindness to Avraham, v'yigalem, v'yinatlem, v'yinasem, kol yimei olam, the pasukim in Yeshaya, and Hashem will redeem us, and He will carry us, and all the days. L'chein tiknu lomar, b'brichas avos, we say in avos, we mention all the midos, we say hakel ha-gadol, ha-gibor, v'hanora, v'chosman, but we end with magen Avraham. V'yishaya Avraham Avinu al Hashal Mitzayir al Tzaros Banav. Avraham Avinu was upset when he saw all the future troubles that his children would go through. As we say, v'yir defame Adan, he chased the Jewish people till Dan, and then when he got to Dan, he couldn't find anymore. Say Chazal, because that's where the Jewish people would sin, and he saw that. Shiram Hashayavra Aleim B'Shibit Golas, Avraham saw everything the Jewish people would go through. That's the Bris Ben Abisarim. He saw all the exiles, and the great fear overcame him. V'nichem Oso HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that's what Hashem is consoling him. V'amalo B'cha Chosmim, with you, things will end. Vatzlomar Asof Shal Galias, the end of the exile. Yatamit B'chesed Gadol, there will be such great kindness. And what will that kindness be? What's the greatest kindness? V'al Yidach Mimenu Nidach Chas V'Shalom, that no Jew will be lost. No single neshama will be gone. Hashem will bring everyone back. Eventually, everyone comes back. You could do it the hard way. You could do it the easy way. But every single neshama will be saved. And the reason is, every spark has to come back, because that's what Hashem is saying to Avraham Avinu. So before we go on, here's a pshat on its own. This is a whole kavana to itself. The first bracha of Shemone Esrei, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, Gadol, Agibor, Vanora, these mean all kinds of midas of Hashem, but Hashem promises us in the end, Hashem promised Avraham. B'cha Chosmin, in the end it's going to be Magen Avraham. That's what was said back in Parshas Lech Lecha by Avraham. Says the Zera Kodesh that Moshe Rabbeinu is being given a similar message. V'zeh asod, and this secret, Gila Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Hashal Ma'idei Asneh, this idea is being taught to Moshe through the Sneh. Okay, now he's going to have a little bit of Kabbalistic intentions and some gematrias. Bear with me here, but what's important is the idea that somehow contained within this experience of the burning bush is Hashem revealing to Moshe how things are going to go throughout history and how the Jewish people will be protected. And the sneh that's einenu boer ba'esh, the bush that's not being consumed, is of course the Jewish people who are not being this. He says, Kidu elam kubalim, and the kubalim say, sheyesh kuf chaf tzirufa elokim, there's 120 permutations of the name Elokim, which is not hard to calculate. It's simply 5 times 4 times 3 times 2. I mean, do you need the times 1? Technically, okay. Let's keep the times 1. 5 factorial. So Elokim can be spelled in 120 different ways. Amorim al-dinim egvuras, which means that there's 120 different ways of having judgment and severity. Behemnim takin, but those are sweetened. Sweetened is when you take something which on its own is just judgment, but then you add some sweetness to it, like chocolate. Like you can't eat chocolate that's raw because it's so bitter. Hard to imagine chocolate being inedible. So what do you have to do? You have to sweeten it. So picture gevuras is chocolate, and you need to sweeten it. Behind mitam anal, as we explained, ki mashmas shal tevis ekiyah. Because what does the name Ekiyah mean? I will be. That's why Hashem says to Moshe, Moshe says, Hashem, what's your name? Hashem says, Ekiyah, Asher Ekiyah. Meaning, I'll be with you now, I'll be with you in the future, I'll be with you always, I will always be with you. Says Moshe, yeah, that's great, but we can't mention that you're going to be with us in the Babylonian exile, and the Persian exile, and the Greek exile, and the Roman exile. They're still in Egypt, I can't mention that. Says Hashem, okay, so just tell them I'll be with them. That's what the name Ekiyah. Al-Shema Asad means the future. Ratzalomer, so in the end, so the word Ekiyah alludes to the idea that eventually everything will be okay. And let me say this in those words that we should understand this. Hashem's name, just those two words, Hashem's name, what that means. Hashem's name is that you're going to be okay. Ekyeh, eventually, everything will be right. And that's the name of Hashem. And because eventually, everything will be fixed, will be returned to the Garden of Eden, every neshama, for eternity. Kamo Shevtiach, and that's what Hashem promises, B'chach Osman, and you, Avram, through you we will be sealed. Shele B'sof will be, end the bracha, Shele Sof Yizgal Amidas HaChesed LaAvraham, eventually the kindness of Avraham will be the way the world is run. L'kach niska b'parsha zu, if you look throughout the parsha, you'll find Vav Pa'amim Ekiah. You'll find six times the use of this name Ekiah. Now, six Ekiah is 21. Six times 21 is 126. What's the gematria of 126? So hear this. Lirmoz al chasadim akdoshim, this is going to allude to the kindnesses. In other words, the six uses of the word Ekiah in these psukim are the sweetening of the judgments. Hamam tikim es kuf chab tzirufi av elukim hanal. So there's 120 permutations of Elohim, which means the 120 kinds of judgments that the Jewish people were experiencing in Egypt. And this six times Ekiah, which is 126. Hamarumazim Matevis Asne Gematria Kufchaf. So Hasne is 120 Gematria Elohim. So Hasne means all the judgment. V'hasne is 126. Six times the word Ekiah. The vav in front of the word hasneh, olagamken kufcha vav, that's telling you, if it would just be hasneh, that would represent judgment on its own. That vav in front of it makes it 126, which connects it to the six times ekiah in these psukim that sweetens the judgment. Lahoris to teach you shagvuras nimtakim ayidei achasadim akdoshim mishem ekiah. So once again, taking the Kabbalistic and oversimplifying it, my apologies, but you have this name, Elohim represents all the judgments, ekiah represents all the sweetening, Elohim is 120, ekiah is 126, hasneh is 120, v'hasneh is 126, representing that the judgments are being sweetened. We know, ki malach, the word malach, which we translate as angel, but also means messenger, but also means messengership. The word malach is gematria 91. Now 91 is an important number because we know that the word amen is 91. But more so, because the two names of Hashem, the way we say it and the way we read it, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is 26. But the name as we say it, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is 65. 65 and 26 is 91. So you should know that wherever you see the word Malach in the Torah, it alludes to a unification of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. That's what's happening. Except there's a difference. If you see the words Malach Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei, Humor Al Yichud Shemitzad Chasadim, that means Havaya and Ad Hashem have come together, but it's more kindness than judgment. Wherever you see in the Torah it says Malach Elokim, that's also a combination of Yud Kei Vav Kei and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, but more Humor Al Yichud Mitzad Gevura is more on the side of judgment. So this is what he's saying. Mamash a whole new pshat. Vayera, you know what appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu? Malach Yud Kei Vav Kei. Elof to him. A representation of a unification of Hashem's name that leans towards kindness. That's the translation of Malach Hashem. A representation of a unification of Hashem's name that leads to kindness. That's what the Malach Hashem is. Hashem showed him his kindness. Hamarumas b'malach Hashem, which is alluded to by seeing an angel, yichud mitzad chasadim, representing a unification on the side of kindness. Hatamun, which is contained b'toch kufchav tzerufei Elokim shem b'chinas esh, within the fire, representing the 120 permutations of Hashem's name, kiminin asneh. So the Hasna is the 120 permutations of Elohim. The fire is the judgment that emanates from that Hasna. And the Malach Hashem is the unification of mercy that is within that vision. Mashal b'sof yizgalu achasadim ha'ele, because eventually the kindnesses will be revealed. V'yimtuku es ha'koach ha'gvuras ha'esh, and they will sweeten all the power and the judgment which is associated with fire. Shlo yuchal lishlot v'lasos klei achas v'shalom, and so this unification that Moshe Rabbeinu is seeing is what protects the Jewish people from being destroyed. Because Hashem is going to complete this and seal this with the kindness of Avraham. That's what this pasuk means. Vayar, and he saw. The bush is burning in fire. But the bush is not being consumed. What he saw through his wisdom. Meaning the vision is a vision, but it has to translate. The way it translates is he saw Shisholtama Yisoku Chafterufe Elukim. The Jewish people are in the Sne, the burning bush. Hasne is 120. And that's the Jewish people burning under all 120 levels of judgment. Bim Kozelo, Yeah, Klaya Chas Vishalom, and even with all 120 aspects of judgment, the Jewish people will never be consumed, will never be destroyed. Vayomer, so he says, Asurana, Ve'era Esamara HaGadol Hazeh. Gadol is kindness. As we say, HaGadula VaHaGavura VaTiferes. Ve'eres Midas HaChesed HaMechunim Shem Gadol, that's kindness. Mashem Akev Es HaGavuras L'Chalos, because it's kindness that's stopping the judgment from destroying the Jewish people. Rakiz Galo L'Besof, because the kindness will eventually be revealed. V'yisnaig V'midas Chesed LaAvraham, and he will reveal the attribute of Chesed to Avraham. K'mo She'eftiach Lo B'chor Chosmen, as Hashem promises to Avraham, in you we will seal, you will close the bracha. So before we go on, because he's going to go to a totally different place now, but this is the vort on the parsha. Once again, the question is, what is this Malach Hashem? We typically take the approach of, what do we know of such things? But he knows of such things. So he's going to give it to us in a way that he feels we can understand it. Very confident of him. But basically, based on the Torah in Parshas Lech Lecha, where he explains that when we say B'cha Chosman, it's not Avram gets to be by himself at the end of the bracha. It's the midah of Avram that we're promised we will eventually live in, just this pure kindness and chesed. And that's the vision that's being shown to Moshe Rabbeinu, again, with all the gematrias and all of that. The Sneh Bor Be'esh is the Jewish people being consumed by judgment. And that would include in the original vision of Ekiah, Asher Ekiah, that Moshe Rabbeinu would have been shown the Jewish people in all the exiles, down to the crusades, the pogroms, the expulsions, the Inquisition, and the Holocaust, and more modern tragedies that have affected the Jewish people in Galus. All of that is the Esh, the fire, that should have long ago destroyed us. But Hashem shows Moshe Rabbeinu that v'hasneh, that is the name Ekiah, that Ekiah Asher Ekiah, Hashem is going to be with us forever, and nothing is going to happen to the Jewish people. We will be here forever, as we've already been here for all this time. So, how can I access this chesed? So you have two options. You can either become Moshe Rabbeinu, which the Rambam says you can, Hilchas Tshuva, says anyone can be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's option number one, and maybe you can have this vision too. Option number two is to clean out the spider webs from your home on Friday. Okay, there's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. I'm going to quote it from the Kaf HaChaim, because we're in the Sephardic shul. They have the Sephardic farm, so I'm going to read it from the Kaf HaChaim. Mishnah Berurah quotes it too. Kasav Baal Reishis Chachma, without the Kabbalah, he just says he's supposed to clean out the spider webs. Kasav Baal Reishis Chachma, b'shem tzefet tzor az chayim, v'zeh l'shon mori nishmasu eden, kasav, shi'ifanei kore achbish mi'abayis, you have to remove spider webs from your home on Friday, l'sod haremez, because of some secret. And the Shlach quotes it, and he says, "Da'asodu ki malchus nikras bayis." Your house represents the attribute of malchus. Ba'alneha ne'amar, and of the attribute of malchus, it says, "Kashoshana ben achochem," like the rose amongst the thorns, or like the lily amongst the thorns. By getting into debates over translations, "Shasaviv rishayim yisalachon," that the wicked are always surrounding. "Usod aklipos shiritzonim limnoa shalom bayis." And so the spider webs represent the forces that are in your home that are trying to take away your shalom bayis. And on Friday, that's especially when there's a harsh force that tries to create machlokas in the house. And it's a special kind of force. It's not natural. There's a certain kind of force for anger that exists on Friday afternoon. The heim heima achvish, that's the spider. I mean, this is from the Kaf HaChaim. Shesarach lefanosa mi'abayis, you have to get out of a house. Shusod lahavir gilulim in the arts, which represents the future removal of idol worship from the world. She aretz al yona, which is the supernal land. Ubefrat b'yam Shabbos kodesh, especially Shabbos is coming. Shusod midas ha-malchus, Shabbos is the attribute of malchus. Akein nikra Shabbos malchusa, it's called the Shabbos queen. But you should try to get rid of it before the fifth hour, meaning do it in the morning. Because once you get to the fifth hour on Friday, there's already a little bit of light on Shabbos. So you want to already be free of all the spider webs, which alludes to all these forces for evil. That's in halacha. So, yes.
On Shabbat, when people will come to us, we do not go to him.
Right.
Right? Is that
what he's done? He's coming into our house. So you have to get rid of the forces in your house that promote machloket and bad things. So you have to get rid of the spider webs. Yeah, everything we do. But this is an additional point. So now, that's halacha in Shulchan Aruch, and the Zerah Kodesh is not going to quote this halacha, but he's kind of going to allude to it. Hinav Yosim is galam achasadim ayde shmiras Shabbos Kodesh. If you want kindness in your life, you want good things to happen to you, the number one best way to do it, that's what he says, the greatest way to reveal kindness is by keeping Shabbos. K'mosh amru chazal, as our sages tell us, ilumal yisham yisrael beis Shabbos, if we, the Jewish people, would have kept two Shabboses, we would have already had barcha to Hashem magen Avraham. Valdeh se pirashti apasik b'mishle. There's a verse in Mishle that says, simamis b'yadayim tesapes. Which there's a big machlokas amongst the Rishonim on the translation of simamis. Many learn it as in the modern Hebrew it's used for like some kind of lizard. But he's going to learn, like the Rishonim that learned, that it refers to a spider. And simamis b'yadayim tesapes means that the spider grabs things with its hands, right? Or it grabs things with what it makes with its hands, which is the webs. Right, even though it's not really from the, doesn't shoot forth from the wrists, but it uses its hands to capture. Now the original pasuk in Mishle is making a totally different point, which is about how the spider puts up its web and it sets it up even in the palace of kings. And then the summer Rishonim learned that means, you know, he's going to the place where there's the most food, but that's the place where they're most likely to clean out the spider webs. There's different ways of reading it. But the point is that this verse, Samamis b'yadayim tesapes, refers to the spider and how it climbs the walls and builds a web and captures. So he says, in b'chal dalu b'chinus, there's four levels of creation, domim tzomeach chai medaber, the inanimate, minerals, and rocks, salt, water, Tzomeach, vegetation, trees, flowers. Chai, living animals. Medaber, speaking beings, human beings. Yesh b'chal echad, each one has. Davar ha-ma'ayim, there's one element of those, there's always some elements within those things. She'adam yare mimenu, that people have a natural fear from. V'yisrachik shal yavu de sakana, and people can't even be close to it because they're so afraid of it. Haderech mashal bedomim. So, for example, in the inanimate, yesh sam echad is a kind of poison shekorim belashon Ashkenaz, which is called in lashon Ashkenaz, presumably would be German, arsenic. Okedoma. Shu min evan. It's basically a type of stone. V'chalatoyim imenu, and if you taste of it, you could die. So there's stones that can create this sort of fear if you're even near it, like you want to get close to it. When it comes to plants, there's many dangerous plants, the kotzim, barkonim, thorns and thistles, all kinds of things. In animals, there's many evil animals. But yoser mikulam, well, picking on the spiders, but the worst of all, who ha samamis, is the spider. Shimnafla lamashke, if it falls into your drink, va'adam shoso, saying your drink is the musukan gadol, is very dangerous. Now he's speaking of poisonous spiders, but I think if you think about it on some level, he's saying that there is this internal thing where if a spider was in this room, people would start climbing the walls, especially if it's a big spider. And so that's built into you. Because that animal represents a certain concept. It represents the husks and the forces for evil. And that's why there is this fear of the spider. And you think about it, even with sharets, people sometimes, they're afraid of a mouse or a rat. What are you afraid of? Like literally, what can it do to you? There's nothing. If you're wearing shoes, it can't even nibble at your toe. What are you afraid of? Yeah, I know. We try to explain it. The answer is it's one of the Shmoneh Shratzim. That's why. Yeah, that's right. It's one of the eight Shratzim which the Torah says that contains within it a certain level of Tumah, because it represents the forces for evil in the world, the kings of Edom, and they're all associated with the Shmoneh. There's a complicated concept, but their spiritual source for evil translates into these. And so what you're feeling about spiders, this arachnophobia that every person has on some level, but some people have it on an uncontrolled level. Some people have cured it and they raise spiders, but you know, it's all kinds of people. So he says, whatever evil the spider represents, Ayidei Shmiras Shabbos Kodesh, when you keep Shabbos, Shmiras Shabbos Kodesh, you keep a holy Shabbos. Right? It means not just, you know, limiting yourself, but make a beautiful Shabbos. Sha'adam shomer Shabbos kol chasam, and you keep Shabbos according to the halacha, hu yachol linatzel mikulam, you could be saved. Now, apparently he seems to say you'd be saved from spiders. But certainly you'll be saved from all the things that the spider represents, and you'll be saved from that kind of poison. Ke'az mistalkem kalachitzonim v'chaladinim kasha me'olam, because when Shabbos comes in, the external forces and all the judgments for evil in their source go away from the world. K'mavuar b'zohar HaKadosh, as we say in the Zohar, and the minig of Nusach Sfard and the Hasidim is to recite this special section of the Zohar between Kabbalah Shabbos and Maariv on Friday night. People know it as Kigavna. But in there it says, Kadayil Shabso, when Shabbos comes in, Iyas Yachtas, there's this incredible unification that occurs. V'chaldinim is Abramina, and all judgment goes away. Says the Rav Shitzer, as he's famously known to do, beautiful Ramazim, V'zesh Nemar, Simamis, V'yadayim Tesapes, the spider, it captures its prey with its handiwork, Simamis, V'yadayim Tesapes, spells, it's Rosh Tevis, Shin, Beis, Tav. Spells Shabbos. Shemamis, B'yadayim, Tesapes, Rosh Tevis, Shabbos. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech is telling us in Mishle, when he phrased the Torah of the spider into Rosh Tevis of Shabbos, to tell you that all that evil in the world, everything that you see are forces for evil, you could go after the evil. We can dive into Hashem, B'lam al Shinim al Tiyisikva. We can make arrangements that evil people should be locked away. We can make arrangements that evil people should be destroyed from the world. Or you can keep Shabbos. And Shabbos will be samamis b'yadayim tesapes. It will give you the strength to capture this. Shaydei shmir Shabbos yachali natzel gamin samamis. From through the observance of Shabbos, you can be protected from the spider and what it represents. Ki avrasha teves emosis Shabbos lefishba lirmos al inyan hanal. So that's where it ends. So this section on the spider, almost like an afterthought, because once he's told you that Avram Avinu was shown that eventually the chesed will win out, And that Moshe Rabbeinu is shown that even though there's Gevurah in the world, there's all these forces for evil in the world, eventually the Chesed will win out, and that's the vision of the burning bush. The Rav Shitzur knows, based on this pasuk in Mishle that speaks of the spider, that actually you could become like Avram Avinu, or like Moshe Rabbeinu, and then you could draw this down into the world, and you still should try. But start with observing Shabbos Kilchasa. The power of Shabbos Kilchasa is Samamis Biyadayin Tesapes. It opposes, and that's why we're supposed to symbolically clean out spider webs from our house on Erev Shabbos to represent that we're really removing the cobwebs from within our heart and within our soul, the places where the evil forces have allowed themselves to trap flies. And we know flies represent the Yetzirah as well. The Baal Zavuv is which the Goyim call them Belzebuz or something, right? So that's the Baal Zavuv is also represented. The spider is capturing these flies. Be'ez Hashem, we should be Zocha. We should fix ourselves, observance of Shabbos. We should be safe from all spiders. But more so, we should be safe from the people who are spiders, from the people who use cobwebs to capture the innocent. Be'ez Hashem, Hashem should wipe out all their cobwebs from this world. We should be Zocha to the Geula Shleima.
Amen. Thank you,
Rabbi.
Recording stopped.
Rebbe, said
thank you,
Rafa. That, we see that Moses warns us of the special bond, but meanwhile, he uses a shame of forage to destroy the Egyptian person. And then we see that, and we come back, that Aaron meeting somewhere, they didn't have a telephone, so they were like special people, they not communicated, but somehow they were in touch.
Yeah, Hashem told them. Hashem told them, Aaron, go meet Moshe.
Wow.
Right? What a level to be on.
Wow.
I did it.